I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
So certainly a lot of activity as it relates to the Maryland program over the last week and the last few days in particular. And we also have a Final Four that is set. Later on in the show, we will talk football. Ben's down at the owners' meetings. He'll join us at 12. And Adam Peters is scheduled to speak. And he will do that. And we'll try to have a lot of that sound for you before the end of the show. Joining me, though, right now is John Talty, at J Talty, T-A-L-T-Y, on X on Twitter. He's a national college sports reporter for CBS Sports and for 24/7 Sports. And he's a best-selling Wall Street Journal author. Most recent book, The Price, with Armin Katayan, who we had on the show last year, who was excellent. John joins us right now. And John did write about the exit, the Kevin Willard exit. By the way, I have to say, in some somebody texted me after sending me this. Barry Gossett, who is, you know, a legendary figure at the University of Maryland. We have seen him in press release quotes. I don't think I've ever seen this kind of quote from him, but you got it. He essentially said, quote, "He played us like a drum. As far as I'm concerned with Kevin leaving, it was just chaos," closed quote. I don't think I've ever seen him quoted other than in a press release about some sort of big building going up.
Yeah, Barry was upset, and you know, I had talked to Barry for the book that you mentioned, The Price, you know, more about football stuff. But when I called him, you know, he was certainly frustrated, and he told me, he's like, "Yeah, I've had a lot of people calling me. I think in the lead up to whether Kevin was going to stay or go, didn't want to talk. And I think, you know, when I got him yesterday, I think a certain level of frustration was there for him, where he was upset over how it got handled. And I think that, you know, Barry's reaction is not unique right now for the fan base. I think there's a lot of Maryland fans that are upset over how this played out. And I think a big part of this, and you obviously know this, Kevin, is that, you know, Maryland basketball has been kind of been in the wilderness for a bit. You know, it's close to a decade since the last time they were in the Sweet 16. The last time they were there, you know, ended up losing pretty badly to Kansas. They've been waiting for a while for a team to really feel good about, be excited about, and they finally have it, this fun Crab 5 team. And, you know, they've really had, what, 12 hours to enjoy probably the shot of the tournament in Derrick Queen before all of the Villanova stuff really started cranking up again. And so I think that's part of where the frustration and, upset feelings comes with, is that they feel like Kevin Willard kind of stole a moment away from them.
Yeah, the exit was incredibly messy and was not handled well at all. The irony, and I talked about this, you know, on Friday a little bit in the open to the show, is that a lot of those same people were screaming for his head in early January. I mean, that's the nature of college fan bases. But, you know, there were threads on, you know, who are we going to get next when they were 1-3 in the Big Ten. But beyond that, you had some really good stuff in your story about this not just becoming a recent thing, that this has been on the mind of Kevin Willard for a while. Share some of that with everybody.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as you know, Kevin, I think Kevin Willard, you know, there was some, you know, bumps along the way in his transition to the Big Ten, a guy who coached in the Big East for 12 years at Seton Hall, you know, previously before that. Of course, with Rick Pitino at Louisville, I think understood a certain way of how things were done, just not only from the travel and the scheduling parts, which, you know, Kevin was frustrated with at the Big Ten. And I think, you know, I came out at times this past season upset at some of the late night games, the travel, you know, the off days, the not off days. But I also think that, you know, in the Big East, it's very clear what the priority is. And, you know, that was the case at Seton Hall. That will certainly be the case at Villanova. And I think there was some frustration along the way for Kevin, you know, with athletic director Damon Evans, with interim athletic director now Colleen Sorum, about just not getting the resources that he wanted, that he felt like at a quote-unquote basketball school like Maryland should get, the ones that he got at Seton Hall and other places. And so I think it's been building for a while. I think that, you know, again, the timing of it, I think is tough. And to your point earlier, if you told Maryland fans, you know, you're going to end up in a Sweet 16, I think they all would have taken it. And if you, at the beginning of the season, if you said, the end of the season, Kevin Warren's going to be gone. I think a lot of fans would have taken that too. But the fact that both happened, I think, is that the thing that nobody really could have imagined happening.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a name, Colleen Sorum, Deputy AD. It's a name that I think with a lot of people has circled a lot here over the last week and a half. Obviously, there have been frustrations now with multiple coaches in a row. And I talked a little bit about that, John. I said, look, Maryland's in a look in the mirror moment here because what's done is done. But two good coaches have now essentially won it out. And that is, you know, a time to say, what are we not doing here to keep good coaches? And I think maybe Kevin, you know, told them specifically what it was. And it sounds like they bellied up to the bar with what he wanted, which, you know, makes the exit even more messy, obviously. But just, you know, some of the frustrations, Damon Evans and beyond, can you speak to those?
Yeah, well, I would push back a little bit on Mark Turgeon being a good coach. I think he was okay.
Well, that's I think he was. Yeah, we can agree to disagree. I think he was a good coach.
Yeah, I mean, he had his moments. I think he ultimately didn't meet expectations. But we can move on.
He didn't do it
in
March. That's 100% true.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think when you live through the Gary Williams era, you hope that there are deep March runs, and I think you hope that the coach is going to get the absolute most out of their guys. But, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, Kevin Willard wanted more resources, and Maryland was willing to give them. As I reported in my story, they were willing to give him about $4.5 million in rev share, even before he went public with his complaints, which would put them, from what I've been told, at number two in the Big Ten. You know, I'm in SEC country in Birmingham. Why the SEC schools are not going to be giving their basketball teams $4.5 million? So he was getting a good cut even before he laid out those very public complaints. I've been told that they bumped it up even higher than that in their negotiations. So they were willing to give him a good cut. I think the hope, if you're a Maryland fan, is that they're willing to do that for the next guy, and that, you know, that the kind of frustrations that played out publicly that everyone's upset about, that whoever the next AD is, that they realize basketball is important, that we have to give them the necessary resources to succeed, and that hopefully President Daryl Pines also realizes that here's a guy in Kevin Willard that we wanted to keep, and he chose to leave for another school despite our best effort to keep him. What does that mean for us? What do we need to do moving forward? And I think that they realize that and are ready to give that next person the resources necessary to compete at the highest levels.
We're talking with John Talty from CBSSports.com. Real quickly, just so everybody has an understanding of how it works now, explain the difference between what we're about to get with RevShare and NIL.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is that one is school-funded and one has been, you know, fan and business-funded. So, you know, if things go as planned next week, April 7th, the House versus NCAA settlement should be approved. That'll set up for this summer for schools to directly pay athletes. You know, it's going to be $20.5 million is the number we've been told. That's going to be spread out throughout the athletic department. The majority of that is expected to go to football if you have a football program. So, in that probably $12 to $15 million range for football. Basketball, a lot more, going to be 2 to 4. You got women's basketball, baseball, you know, other different sports. To this point, it's been all donor-driven. And so that's, I think, part of where Maryland needs to look in the mirror is that Maryland has never been the greatest when it comes to donors. There's some really high-level ones. Barry Gossett, you mentioned earlier, has funded Harvey. A lot of things over the years. Harvey Sanders, Kevin Plank, you know, I quoted Harry Geller. Harry did a great job with the NIL collective, but I think there's a need for more money. And I think if you can combine that, say, $4.5 million in rev share plus maybe an extra $2 million or so on top in NIL through businesses and donors and things like that, you know, that gives you a really good budget. That'll give them more than they've had, about double than what they had this past year, which you need to keep up with the rise in costs, but also to put you in that, you know, top 15 or so in terms of what basketball programs are spending on their rosters.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
You know, the 20.5 million number, that's like a salary cap, you know, high, right? That you can spend and you can divvy up among your athletic department. But it doesn't mean that you get to that top line number. Like, you know, we're talking about Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and I don't know what other conference schools that'll have that much to spend. The Big East won't have that amount to spend, as an example.
Correct. I mean, yeah, exactly. And there was questions even about whether some of the Power Four schools might not go all the way opted into
right.
20.5. And there's some, I think Houston's one of them that said they were not going full 20.5. So you can be in the Power Four and still not spend it. And of course, yeah, if you could be, you know, I'll make up one. You can be Ball State and say, we're opting in, but we're just going to do $1 million of that number. But schools like Maryland, you know, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, they're going to spend that full 20.5. And here's the other thing to keep in mind moving forward. Like the NBA, like the NFL, that number is going to go up as time goes on. As more revenue comes in, that number will increase. So 20.5 is the number now, but in the future, that number will be even higher. And that's what, you know, athletic directors, you know, like the outgoing Damon Evans, that's what they have to think about, knowing that this number is going to keep going up, and we got to find ways to either bring in more revenue and or find ways to cut some expenses. And, you know, I think that's where some of Kevin Willard's frustration came from, that certain things that he thought should be, you know, obvious yeses were being told no.
Somebody not with Maryland or on the Willard side mentioned to me over the weekend that one of the biggest untold stories about this saga is Willard's very low buyout number of, I guess we've seen some reports that it was between $1.5 million and $2 million. What do you know about that? And I was told that it should have been much higher, that was not a well-done deal from the jump, that if it had been higher, it probably would have prevented any of this from happening. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that number is low. And I can tell you just from some past examples, for instance, Nate Oates at Alabama had a very high buyout, and that right. ultimately blocked Kentucky from hiring him. You know, we've seen that in past times. Chris Beard, you know, I can remember multiple times over the years where, hey, we really want this guy, but he's got an $8 million or $10 million buyout. We're not touching that. Kevin's was very low, and, you know, that's maybe a credit to the negotiating brilliance of the one and only Jimmy Sexton for getting the deal that he got. And you know, he now works closely with Evan Daniels, who does a great job too. But that number easily could have been higher. And, yeah, if it's, say, $7 million for a school to buy him out, in this current rev share era, is Villanova doing that? I don't know that they are, but when it's 1.5, 2 million, I think it's 2 million as of right now, that's a lot more doable, a lot more swallowable than a 7, 8, $10 million buyout that some of these other coaches have. So
who's supposed to help the school with that part of the contract? Is it the search firm? Is it the AD? Is it a CFO? Is it a legal person? Whose job is it to make sure when you sign a 7-year deal with your new basketball coach that the buyout clause is commensurate with other, you know, college jobs that have, you know, already set the standard of what it should be?
Kevin, we could talk all day about how schools have been absolutely owned by agents over the last probably 10, 15 years in these negotiations. It seems like they get whatever they want more often than not. You know, sometimes it's a general counsel who is just usually not adept at negotiating across the table from Jimmy Sexton or some of these other guys. Sometimes it's an AD. I think for this one, you know, both Damon Evans and Colleen Sorum were involved in negotiations. And I know that there was actually some friction in the back and forth between Maryland and, you know, Kevin Willard's representatives going back and forth. Certainly looks like Willard did pretty well in that department in terms of the money that he got, which was, you know, I think pretty high up. And then also, of course, you know, the buyout number. So, yeah, it's a battle that I think a lot of schools lose because they just don't feel like either they have the skills and or they feel like they're losing the leverage battle where these agents can kind of demand whatever they want. It's either take it or leave it, or we're going to take my guy elsewhere. And that, you know, a lot of schools end up on the losing side of that.
We're talking to John Talty from CBSSports.com. All right. Really messy exit, and the timing couldn't be worse. What does Maryland do?
Got to get someone who I think wants to be there, who understands the evolving environment, can capitalize on, you know, whether it's rev share, NIL. I think that one thing that we're going to see moving forward as it becomes, you know, more and more money-driven, I think the X's and O's guys are going to, you know, really rise to the top. I think you know, you still need to recruit well. You still need guys who can bring in talent. But I think as it becomes more professional, the guys who really have that X's and O's edge, I think are the ones who are going to, you know, really win more often than not the way we see in the NBA. So if I'm Maryland, I know it's the hot fan name, but Luke Murray does make a lot of sense to me. We know he's an X's and O's guy. He's done some brilliant things offensively for Dan Hurley at UConn. Do you take a swing? Do you give him a huge rev share number and say, hey, you've got the money to work with. Do what you do as a coach. Let's see if we can make a run. I think Maryland has to take a swing here and try to do something a little different just because the timing is so bad that maybe some of the names you could have gotten 2 weeks ago, either already at other schools, like Nika Medved, I think would have been a great name in that regard, or the guys just don't want to move at this point because the portal's going and their team's already coming together. So the pool's going to be a little smaller than it could have been a couple weeks ago, which is why I think Maryland needs to be creative, think outside the box, look at guys who might have an incredible offensive, you know, play-calling style to kind of get Maryland to be unique, to be different beyond what they've been in the past.
Tell everybody about Luke Murray. How long has he been at UConn with Dan Hurley? Was he at Rhode Island before that with Hurley? Does he get a lot of credit for what I would call one of the best offensive X's and O's coaching staffs that we've seen in recent years? Just a little bit more about Luke Murray.
Yeah, and he before that he was with Chris Mack at Xavier and was a part of those teams that. Yep. We're really good. But, yeah, I mean, I can remember, as I'm sure you do, Kevin, like Danny Hurley's offense used to be kind of ugly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember Maryland beating UConn
Rhode Island.
A few years back. Yeah, and Rhode Island. I mean, it's just like they were not very pretty offenses. And then you look at what
Mark
it is
Mark Turgeon
now,
beat him in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and Hurley is like, there are times where I think the way maybe Maryland fans talked about Kevin Willard, people were talking about Dan Hurley of, you know, what, is this guy going to be able to win at the big level?
Right.
Sorry, I got an ambulance by me here.
Right.
But is he going to be able to win at the level? And I think Murray made a big impact on that. He is a guy who we all know he's Bill Murray's son. So that's a fun little side factor, having Bill Murray courtside at Maryland games. But you know, he's someone who has done a lot. Hurley has given him a lot of credit for how they've evolved that offense. Of course, the amount of talent that UConn's had over the last couple of years helps. But he's been with Hurley at multiple stops, and clearly Hurley really trusts him. And from everything I've heard, you know, he's waiting for a good opportunity. I can liken it back in some ways to, you know, Kirby Smart when he was at Alabama with Nick Saban. He wasn't right. going to jump for any job. He ended up waiting to jump for the right job. Goes to Georgia. We know what he's done there. I think that could be Luke Murray, you know, at least from what we've seen of him. You never know how that transition from a top assistant to head coach is going to go. But he has all the makings of a guy who I think could be really successful. And, again, if you want to take a shot and do something different, what about the guy who has helped, you know, really revamp what is now, I think, the best offense in college basketball?
Anybody else? Any other names for that you think are going to be in play?
Yeah, I mean, the Buzz Williams stuff's been everywhere, and I think that's been very much driven by his side of things. So there's a newer AD there in Trev Alberts. It doesn't seem like he's getting a contract extension. It seems like he is certainly trying to find a exit ramp out, and he's been pushing pretty hard, from my understanding, behind the scenes. That's one of them. I think, you know, Vanderbilt's Mark Byington is a name that's been bouncing around. He's only been at Vandy for a year. It's hard to move after only a year, but he's another guy who, from an offensive efficiency standpoint, really high up, did a good job at James Madison. You've got the local guys like Tony Skin, former Willard assistant, did a good job from a recruiting standpoint, has done well locally, George Mason. So there's going to be some different names, and, you know, you never know. There might be a surprise name. It's still pretty early on in the process, but to the point you made earlier, with the transfer portal already rolling right now, you know, time is of the essence. I think that by midweek or so, you really need to have a good sense of who you have a shot at to try to hold on to not only the roster you have right now, guys like Rodney Rice and Kobe Gillespie, but also trying to attract talent. It didn't seem like Maryland's really been involved with anybody in the portal so far, and that's going to put them really behind the eight ball for next year if they can't make moves soon.
What's Beard's buyout number, do you know?
Pretty high, I think. He was one of the ones that I was thinking of as you asked that question. I can't tell you offhand, but I think it's pretty high. And he's already one of the highest paid, you know, coaches in America. And so he's one that, you know, I think the Maryland fans that I've talked to would all, you know, a lot of them would like Chris Beard. I was in the Atlanta Regional, and Ole Miss went absolutely toe-to-toe with Michigan State. He's an incredible coach. He's going to get a bigger job at some point soon. No knock on Ole Miss. But, you know, I think that's one that could be cost prohibitive for Maryland. We haven't seen them willing to really go and spend huge numbers to coach Steele in the past when the past coaching search, you know, guys like Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Eric Musselman were all mentioned. Felt like Maryland was never really willing to get up to that $5, $6 million number at that point. They were for Kevin Willard, from what I was told. So maybe if Kevin Beard, they're willing to throw major money at it. But that would go against type from what they've done in the past.
John, great job. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you.
John Talty, everybody, from CBSSports.com. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.